If you have your Bible this morning, turn to John chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the last few verses in John chapter 2 and the few verses, the first few verses of John chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse and make some comments. And you're going to recognize this verse. John 3:16, and I believe that everybody in here can quote that with me. It is a verse that is known by believer and unbeliever alike. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see it on billboards, on bypasses, and I can remember growing up throughout the years, Sunday football come on, they'd go to kick a field goal, and somebody would raise a sign, John 3:16. Seen it all my life. And so this verse, John 3:16, is often a declaration by the world of God's universal love and redemption. And it is also a verse that is used by many evangelists to try to get men to believe, saying that if you believe. And so when I first began hearing the gospel, when I first began listening, I wanted to go to the scripture and understand. And this is one of those passages of scripture that I would go and read. Well, to understand a verse, you have to understand it in its context. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now this morning, I don't see anybody who has plucked out their eyes. We want to understand the scripture in context. And so with this verse, it is a wonderful verse. It is a glorious verse. But I want to understand the context. And as I began studying the context of his verse, I had questions. There's things that I've seen that even caused me to have more questions. And we'll get into that, and we'll see that here in a minute. So, I began seeking context, and so to do that, oftentimes you go back to the beginning of a passage. And so then, let's go back to John chapter 3 and begin reading in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except for God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, I don't know how many times that I read and reread and read verses 1 through 3, trying to get the context of this conversation that this man, a Pharisee, Nicodemus, was having with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you have a conversation and people speak, one will say something, the other will understand, and then they will respond. And you will have a conversation of understanding. Well, I can tell by this passage that there was a conversation that was taking place between our Lord and Nicodemus, and they understood each other. Yet I couldn't understand what I was reading. Why did the Lord reply to Nicodemus in the way that he did? Well, so I began looking at verse number 3 and looking at our Lord's answer to him. And his answer was, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, before I started setting into the gospel, and when I had read this passage, my thoughts were this, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I would interpret that verse as this, unless a man's been born again, he couldn't go to heaven and see it. He couldn't die and go and see the streets of gold. And he could not die and, well, go to heaven. That's how I interpreted that verse. So as I begin studying this passage and studying this verse, I learned that that is not the response of our Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus. He was telling Nicodemus this: except a man be born again, he cannot perceive. He cannot perceive the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word see means to perceive. And the word kingdom means the reign. So what the Lord was telling Nicodemus is that unless a man's been born again, he cannot see the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why did he tell him that? Why did the Lord tell that to Nicodemus? Well, look back at verse 1, or rather verse 2. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So the conversation started with this. Nicodemus came to the Lord and he said, we know that you're from God because we've seen the miracles. We know that you've come from God because of what you're doing. We've seen it with our natural eyes. And with our natural understanding, we know that no man can do these things. That you have to be from God. God has had to give you the power to do this. Therefore, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God. And our Lord's response to him was this: you cannot know. The reasoning that you've given me, telling me that you know, is not a good reason. It's not the way it works. You must be born again to see. You're saying that I believe because I've seen these miracles. You're saying that you know that I am of God because of the miracles. But a man does not know these things because he sees with his eyes. A man knows these things is because God has given that man life. And God opens his eyes and God reveals to him Christ. So that was the answer. That is why our Lord answered him the way he did. And so, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. This new birth that the Lord was mentioning to Nicodemus was a gift of God, the new birth. And that gift comes by grace. The faith in which the Lord gives men is that faith in which they see Christ. Now, so the Nicodemus told Christ, I believe. And Christ told him, you can't believe. So for more context, I still was looking into this passage and reading. And one of the things I have been told and taught, and I believe it was very good instruction, I've learned it to be so beneficial to me, is oftentimes when you read the scripture, go back before the chapter. Because oftentimes these chapters, they are given to us and they are divided that we might find texts. And the way they're divided, we can go into the scripture and I say, John chapter 3, you can turn chapter 2, chapter 3, that's where we're at. And so the chapters and the verses are given to us really for navigation and for communication. I can give you a verse. I said John 3:16, or a minute ago, you knew exactly the verse. So these verses verses and chapters are very beneficial as far as referencing and finding. But oftentimes we forget that these verses and chapters, when they were written, they were not written with verses and chapters. These things were added later. And so oftentimes we have a mental stop at the beginning of a chapter or at the end of a chapter, and we start again with another chapter. Well, so with that in mind, I went back and was reading previous verses and previous chapters. Well, so what I have learned in studying this passage, it really, all of this conversation, the context, let's say, the context of John 3:16, the context of John chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1, the context actually starts in John chapter 2. Begin with reading with me John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, read this, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of men, for he knew what was in men. So what does verse 23 tell us about verse or chapter 3? One is that Nicodemus is one of these that's spoken of in John chapter 2, verse 23. It says, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And if you look down here, when Nicodemus come to the Lord, he says, we know you're from God because of the miracles that you've done. So you see that? So this verse, chapter 2, verse 23, really should be verse 1 of chapter 3, really. But it gives us context, and it's telling us what's going on, or it helps us to understand the passage. So Nicodemus really is a representation of a great number of people, a great number of people. It says many, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did. But in verse 24, it says, but Jesus, our Lord, he did not commit himself unto them. Now, you see that word commit there in verse 24? Jesus did not commit. That word commit is the exact same word as believe. It's the same word translated with commit instead of a believe. Our Lord had no confidence in their belief. Our Lord put no confidence in their believing on him. But wait, now, again, many believed in his name. Many believed in his name. Many believed in his name. Whosoever believeth shall not perish. And then verse 3, John 3, we read that our Lord is disputing Nicodemus. And so we have a belief here that's mentioned in John chapter 2 that's different than the belief that's quoted in John chapter 3, verse 16. Wait a minute, are you sure about that? I am, and we're going to see that. There is a faith. There is a faith that comes from man. There is a faith that's in man that cannot see God. It cannot perceive God. It cannot understand God. It is alienated from God. In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And in that death, man's ability to get to God, man's ability to see God, man's ability to understand spiritual things died. It died completely. It died totally. Now, he did not lose his religious nature. He did not. He would make gods with his own hands. He would worship. If he heard of the God of heaven, he would, just like these people. They believed in Jesus, it says. They believed in his name, yet they did not know him. Who are these people, I ask? Who are they? Are these that went back and walked with him no more? There in John chapter 6, when he told him, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, that you must. And that, oh, this is a hard saying. And there was controversy. And some of them followed him no more. Is that who these are? Are these those that are temporary followers of our Lord? Well, maybe some of them. Some of them maybe were. Are these they, those who cried there in Luke chapter 23, crucify him, crucify him? After he had offended there in John chapter 6, instead of following and declaring that they believed, that they turned, and then all of a sudden they're there crying, crucify him. Well, maybe some of them. Maybe some of them did. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Here a few weeks ago, well, right now our pastor is going through the book of Matthew. And here a few weeks ago, this jumped out at me. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 23. Read what it says. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not cast out devils in thy name and done many wonderful works? And then I will say unto them, depart from me. Say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Many of those who followed him there in John chapter 2, they followed him all the days of their life. They died believing that they had a hope. They seen the miracles. And they were convinced that he was a teacher come from God. They were convinced of that. They were convinced of that. They prophesied. Does it not say in Matthew 7, as they stood before the Lord, before he tells them, depart from me, didn't they declare, we prophesied in thy name. In thy name. We prophesied in thy name. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did. Aren't these the same people? Or at least many of them? They cast out devils. They done many wonderful works. If somebody was hungry, they fed them. If somebody was cold, they'd clothe them. If somebody was wet, they put a roof over them. They'd done that their entire life. And they died expecting to have a hope of eternal life and stood before our Lord when he said, I never knew you. Now, I don't want to be one of these people. I don't want to be one of these people. And so how do I know? How can I examine myself? The scripture tells us, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. How do you examine yourself? How do I know that I believe? How do I know that? Well, a good example that I've heard, and I think it's a good illustration. If you want to know if a stick is crooked, take a straight stick and set it beside it. And it will reveal, the crookedness will be revealed by the straight. So I want to take the confession or the profession of Nicodemus and let's look at it and compare it to some others. Okay, so with me, turn to John chapter 1. Back a few verses or a few chapters from our text. Verse 29. And I want us to read this and think about what it's saying. Now remember, Nicodemus said when he saw the miracles, he says he's a teacher from God. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God. Do you see the difference? Nicodemus seen a teacher. John seen a lamb. John, when he beheld our Lord, he seen God himself. He seen God's sacrificial lamb. Nicodemus seen miracles. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And I seen this Wednesday night. This is a passage that was read back in the Bible study. And I thought, man, this is part of our text when we read it. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him, notice, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy miracles. No, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Nicodemus seen miracles. Simeon, holding that little 8-year-old baby, seen God's salvation in his arms. It was God the Holy Spirit that revealed it to him. It did not come by flesh. And then also, if you look down at verse 28, or rather 38, in verse 36, there was yet another one there in the temple. Her name was Anna. Verse 36, Luke 2. And there was one Anna, a prophetess. And look what she says down in verse 38. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him. She spake of Christ. She spake of him to all them that looked for redemption. When she seen our Lord Jesus Christ, she seen redemption. It wasn't miracles. Now, she may have seen some miracles later in her life, which maybe not. She was an old lady, but the point is, when she seen the Lord, she seen the Lord's salvation. And then there is yet another one. I think of blind Bartimaeus. When he was coming there, and I can't remember the city, you know what he cried out? Jesus. You know what that word means? Savior. He cried out, Savior. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. When a blind man, he seen Christ. When a blind man seen Christ, he seen God's salvation. Have mercy on me. He seen a man that was not just able to heal a withered hand or open the physical eyes. Blind Bartimaeus knew he needed more than just his eyes open. The Lord had given him spiritual sight, and he was asking for his spiritual sight. But the reason he could cry as he cried is because he's seen Christ. He's seen God. He's seen God in the face of Jesus Christ, and he was blind. So you see the difference between the faith of Nicodemus, this believing that you see there of Nicodemus, and the believing that only God can give to the sinner, the faith that God gives to the dead sinner, there's a difference. Crooked faith, not only will it look to miracles, and now I'm back to what isn't saving faith. You know, true faith always looks to Christ. True faith looks to a person. Faith looks to a person. A man that is looking and examining himself and asking himself, what is my hope? Well, his mind, if he's a believer, his mind is going to a person. His thoughts are to a person. His thoughts are to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But there is a faith in this world that has many objects. Now, for Nicodemus, it was the miracles that he did. But are there not many who look at their baptism, their hearts troubled? Their hearts troubled. You know, what is my hope of eternal life? Am I a believer? When I die, is the Lord going to say to me, well done? Is he going to welcome me, or am I going to perish in my sins? And many people, they will look back and they've been taught in their religion, whatever that is, baptism. And in their mind, they don't go to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't go and behold him. They go to an experience, that baptism. And for some, it's the way I was raised right here, salvation. You raise your hand and, you know, second, third verse, just as I am. You come up here and, you know, there'll be three or four. They'll come around you. They'll pray with you. You know, accept Jesus and ask Christ to come into your heart. And boy, you're tore all to pieces. And you do that. It's emotional. You get up, you feel better. And then from that day forward, you look back to that moment and you die and go to hell because you never seen Christ. Never seen him. It's not the experience that's at the front of the church. It's when God opens the eyes and beholds the Lamb of God. There is my hope. That's my hope of salvation right there. Some people look to their works. Matthew chapter 7, we've done many wonderful works. Well, we've done that and we got baptized and then we started driving a bus for church. You know, bring the kids in. We've done all these things. Collected clothes and genuinely cared for people. Now, they did not love them as themselves, as the law says. Now, they might have loved them, but they did not keep the law in loving them as they loved themselves. But they did love, and they did collect, and they did distribute, and they looked to that as the evidence of their salvation. That's their evidence. They looked to their experiences. Some looked to sacraments. Some have experiences. You know, I've seen it. I've heard it. I've heard it from people. You know, some people have a dream. I've seen this before, you know, especially, you know, somebody has died and, boy, they were pulled out of the body and they looked down and seen the operators and the doctors and everybody working on them and trying to get them back and they couldn't get them back and they went back and, you know, the angel said, well, no, it ain't time, so you're going to have to send you back. And they go back down there, they go back to their body and wake up, you know. And boy, they believe it. Maybe it happened. I have no idea. But I tell you what, that's not my hope of salvation. I'm not looking to that experience. What happened between them and their experience, I have no idea. But I'm looking to this word. And I'm looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for my hope. Whatever experience may happen, a man can have many an experience that is of Satan. A lot of experiences. You go back to Pharaoh when Moses, Aaron had cast his rod down and turned to a serpent. Well, the Pharaoh said, oh, and well, his musicians, they done the same. They threw seven or eight of them down there. They turned into serpents too. I don't know the power of the adversary. I don't. I don't dwell there. I don't go there. I stay away from it. I want to look to Christ. Let him. He's defeated our adversary. I want to look to him. But I'm telling you, he has powers that are greater than I. And he has the ability to deceive. And according to the scriptures, that I haven't referenced, they can do many wondrous things and deceive many. So I don't, those dreams, those experiences, those miracles out here, I don't look to those things. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. And we'll close. John chapter 1. And I was going to bring this into the lesson earlier, but we're going to close with it. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. He was in the world, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe. Our subject this morning, to them that believe on his name, which were born. And you remember, our Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In other words, all those that were born, when our Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again, this new birth is not of blood, it's not of dissension, it's not because I'm a Jew, it's not because I'm a Moody, it's not because that it has nothing to do with my lineage. It has everything to do with God's mercy. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not by our efforts, our works, those things that we attempt to do to please God. Not by that. Nor of the will of man. Doesn't matter what kind of evangelical program you put together and try to get this person to repeat your words or do your deeds or whatever you think it is that brings God salvation. No. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Any man that does not die and perishes in his sins, it is because of the sovereign grace of God. It is because God, in his mercy, in his wisdom, in his love, in his purpose that I cannot explain, he has purposed and seen that sinner among many sinners. Among many sinners where there's no difference other than probably the worst sinner. And he says, you will be mine. And God, the Holy Spirit, will come and grab that man and arrest that man and draw that man to himself. But of God. And look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And read these words. And we beheld, not miracles, his glory, the glory of his grace, the glory of his mercy, the glory of the cross, the glory of his power. You're dismissed.